The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Fam, the internet went down. We didn't think we were going to be able to record, but then we sent the bisexual witch into the internet closet, and it was magically fixed.
I actually said, do you mind if I look at that for a second?
And I was like, what, do you think I was going to get up into it?
And then I just... And here we are. We're back in business, baby.
Hi, Julian Bezzavalli.
Hello, mere mortal. I mean, Patrick Hines. Hi.
Hey, tis the season to be witchy.
365.
Fam, join us on the Patreon if you want more Julian and me. We're uploading a ton of video content. That's new for us. So
yeah.
We uploaded our live show recorded live at Obsessed Fest.
That's right.
We covered Killer Roll, which was
It's
a Dateline Keith Morrison classic.
Yeah.
We had our Broadway dancers. We surprised everybody with an opening number.
It was a time.
Pretty wild. We're also uploading our Class Action Park live show that we recorded live at the Wilbur in
also
Boston.
Also very wild, as Keith would say. Must have been wild. It was, Keith.
Wild.
It was.
We had over 1,100 people at that show. Totally sold out, packed to the gills. And these videos are recorded and edited professionally. So it's multi-cam,
yes,
lots of angles. The sound is incredible.
It's not like your old dance recital video, right, which we all have. Totally. No shade to that. We love some nostalgia, but it's not just like someone's mom in the back of the auditorium.
But we're also going to upload the West Memphis 3 panel that you did at Obsessed Fest with Bob Ruff and Damian Echols and you. We're also going to upload the main stage event with Rabia Chaudhry and Rebecca Lavoie, where she answers all the add-on questions and tells that whole story. So tons and tons and tons of video content, lots of it from Obsessed Fest going to Patreon. Also, we have over 350 full ad-free bonuses there as well.
Yeah, so we do all the long-form stuff. So right now we're doing Finding Andrea, very highly requested.
Oh,
before
God.
That, Bad Vegan, Puppet Master, The Vow, Part 1. We are not doing Part 2.
Don't F with Cats, Tiger King, Lorena, the Gacy thing from Peacock. People are always like, what are you talking about? There's lots of Gacy docs. We did the one on Peacock.
Because that was the one that came first. I'm sorry, everybody. Murder Among the Mormons, Wild Crime.
Yes. Yeah. So there's so much stuff over there. Follow us on TikTok. It's True Crime Obsessed Pod. And follow Obsessed Fest on the Instagram. It's at Obsessed Fest. Go there. If you weren't able to make it and you want to see what happened, we are uploading clips every single day.
Tons of clips.
Is incredible. He's
Thanks,
doing
Aaron.
Amazing work over there. We love him.
Thanks.
And that's all I'm going to say today.
Okay, because we have a lot to say about the actual
stuff. Oh my
God.
Yes. Right at the top of this thing, before I ask Julian, well, all right, what are we doing today?
We're talking about the Martha Mitchell effect on Netflix.
Now, the Martha Mitchell effect is this 40-minute documentary I did not think I was going to enjoy because it's about, like, Nixon and that whole thing, but it's not.
It's barely about Nixon.
It's barely about what? It's this badass, amazing, highfalutin, fancy woman who was a loudmouth in the Nixon era.
She was telling a whole lot of truth about Watergate, and they didn't like it.
She's a tea spiller, but, like, it's not political. She's just sassy, and she's sassy with the press, and she's sassy with her husband, and she's sassy with the president, and I'm obsessed, so don't tune this out because you think it's about, like, Watergate. Fuck that.
Well, sweetie, I tell you what. If I'm doing anything wrong in this government, just tell me about it.
Martha Mitchell hit this town like a bombshell.
In fact, she is getting to be known as the unguided missile.
But I do say what I please.
It wasn't that the president didn't like women. He didn't like loud women.
She was the first to say Nixon should resign.
This man knew what was going on. He was negligent in being president.
Did you see where Martha Mitchell did?
No. He called somebody.
He called the New York Times.
She wanted to protect John, but I don't think she knew how involved John really was.
She was over the brink of
all of a sudden, these rumors start flying out of the White House.
I think she was scared all the time something else might happen to her.
Also, I do want to say, Netflix, yeah. And everyone listening, this is 40 minutes
it's
in
perfect.
And out.
It's perfect.
Netflix, you've done it before with yeah. Longshot. You know we keep talking about it. You do not, everyone listen to me.
Yeah, okay.
Every streaming platform, you do not no. need to drag everything out 6, 7, 8
no,
episodes.
No.
I love a good 5, 6, 7, 8, but enough
sure.
with the episode lengths. It's too much. You're dragging it out. Nothing's happening half the time.
No.
Let's if we're going to tell a story, let's tell it. Netflix, you do it perfectly here.
This documentary was perfect to watch. I loved every second of
I'm
watching it.
I'm so glad.
It was so good. So we get on screen tax right in the beginning. It says in 1968, Richard Nixon was elected the 37th president.
Richard M. Nixon. Do you know his middle name?
Michael.
Milhouse.
Oh, of course it is.
Of course.
Fuck that guy. Who cares?
Fuck him.
He was elected the 37th president of the United States with a campaign platform of law and order.
Boo.
He called his attorney general, John Mitchell, his most trusted advisor.
Now, wait a second.
Okay.
Now, pull over.
Is your gay shit you're going to tell me about?
No.
Okay.
But pull over.
Great.
Now read the rest of that. What's the second
he mark? Called Mitchell's wife, Martha, a hell of a menace.
Wear that shit like a badge,
totally.
Martha. Hell yeah, a hell of a menace.
A hell of a menace. I was.
Keep it up.
That's the name of my next book.
Yeah.
It's a hell of a menace.
Yeah. I see a lot of both of us in Martha.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Martha Mitchell. She's my new hero.
Yeah,
I love her.
Yeah.
And this is about Martha Mitchell, the wife of Nixon's attorney general.
Right.
We see this woman, like, right at the top, and I just instantly was like, I fucking love everything
the glasses,
about her.
The cat-eye
hair,
glasses.
The sunglasses, the brooches, the coats, the voice, the accent.
Yeah, she knows exactly who she is, and she's it 100%, and I love it.
She calls everybody sweetie.
Sweetie.
What was the one you were talking about where the episode where I go to the always at 100% meetings? Like, Martha
oh, yeah.
is founder of that.
Right, right.
Whereas, like, you call AA meetings friends of Bill W.
Yes.
You call the at 100 all the time meetings
friends
of Martha M.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I gotta go to my friends at Martha M meeting.
Oh my God.
Do you know what I mean?
But you said that too quietly.
I know.
You have to
I gotta go!
I gotta go!
Is the country gonna right itself now? Did we have Watergate behind us?
We'll never have Watergate behind us, I hope, because in a way it's been good. We're teaching the politicians to be straight and not crooked.
I'm convinced if it hadn't been for Martha, there'd have been no Watergate.
So if I have something on my mind, I'm not going out and yell it to anybody unless I believe that it's what should be done or said.
So it's 1974, and Nixon leaves office after the Watergate scandal. We'll get into it a
boring,
little bit.
Boring, who cares?
But Nixon says on TV...
to David Frost. This is like the Frost-Nixon.
Yeah. I'm convinced that if it hadn't been for Martha, there'd have been no Watergate. Now... he's not saying that as a good thing.
Right.
He's saying, like,
right.
she fucked up my program
right.
here. She's not like, saying, like, if not for Martha.
Can I just, for anybody who's listening who doesn't know what Watergate is, it was when Martha Mitchell's husband, like, oversaw and allowed a bunch of criminals to break into the Watergate Hotel and, like, steal from the Democratic National Convention and try to install surveillance
like
cameras.
Like, bugging equipment.
Right. So, like, basically the Republicans were trying to, like, bug the Democrats to get information.
And steal a bunch of shit, documents and everything.
Right. That's what Watergate is. They got caught.
And it was the hotel.
Exactly.
That's why it's called Watergate.
Yeah, and that's where, like, Monica Lewinsky lives eventually.
Like, the whole thing.
So,
but we cut to Martha, so Nixon's like, if not for her, like, this whole scandal wouldn't happen. And we cut to Martha, and she's like, I'm sorry, I thought this was America.
I know.
I'm speaking my goddamn mind.
She goes on David Frost's show. David Frost gets a lot of airtime in this app.
Well, of course.
I mean, it's just amazing. So we go back to 1968.
The closed captions say, jaunty music. Okay. I think the people who lived through 1968 would say jaunty isn't really a word they'd use to describe, like, one of the most tumultuous years in our country's
history. No, but, like, remember, like, how bad, like, this president was and how quaint that seems now by comparison?
We'll get into it.
I know.
Because at one point, we'll just get into it.
John Newton Mitchell, Attorney General, lived with his wife Martha in Washington's Watergate apartments. The world seemed good to them.
I know that the president is very fond of my husband. They've been law partners. They've been very close.
Mitchell is a former bond lawyer who, before he managed Mr. Nixon's 1968 campaign, had never ventured into politics.
Nixon loves this guy, John Mitchell. They were law partners. They were very close. Maybe they did some gay shit.
Maybe. He managed Nixon's 1968 campaign, speaking of gay shit. and before that... I don't know. Before that, he'd never been in politics, which is always a good sign.
Yeah.
And now he's the attorney general.
Right, exactly. Hey.
Hey.
You know?
Sound familiar?
Yeah. Oh, God. We're going to do that the whole time.
Yeah. We're going to say, hey, 1968, was it so bad for for you back then, with the hindsight. No, no, it was terrible.
So, Martha, I love that Martha just loves her husband.
She's a champion for him.
She's a champion for him. She says he's one of the most intelligent men in the country, in the world, I would say.
And Martha talks about, like, what is expected and required of a cabinet wife. She sort of likes playing this role.
Because she calls herself, she was just a simple woman before this. She, like, lived in some upstate, like, podunk town, according to her.
I guess. But she said, she's like, I want to improve relations with other countries. I want more love in the world. Like, she's thinking, oh, I'm a cabinet member's wife. Like, I gotta have some pull here, no?
She also, like, we never even see Nixon's wife. Like, the first lady, that's the position that traditionally does these things.
No.
No, Martha Mitchell, like, you're a cabinet secretary's wife. Name a single cabinet secretary spouse right now that, like, currently serving.
Oh, no, that I couldn't
name
do.
One. No. Kamala's got that hot husband, but I don't even know his name. Eric or something?
Sure.
I'm just saying that, like, she wants to be, like, the famous, like, lady about town. Yeah. You're not the first lady, Martha.
But, like, I'm sure a lot of these people were like, oh, she wants to do it. Good, good, good. She'll go. She'll talk to everybody.
Because my next note is, oh, Martha and I would have been very good friends.
Very good friends.
We would have been very good friends.
Well, I've often said to young candidates for how to win, first, pick the right wife. Doesn't make as much news, and she must recognize that the husband is going to make the news.
Washington was a male-dominated city. It was run by white men at the White House and men at every single cabinet level.
Now, Nixon says, if you want any success in this business, the first thing you have to do is pick the right wife. Now, even a broken clock is right twice a day.
Yeah.
But he says it in a garbagey way.
Yeah, I'm
choosing to take the power back and spin it as a positive.
But except what I was really taking from that was that, like, it's just a given that anybody in politics is going to be a man.
Of course.
He's not saying, like, choose the right spouse. He's
exactly.
saying, like, choose the right wife.
He's saying
you know?
It in a garbagey way. I'm choosing
yeah.
to hear it the way I want to hear it and then turn it to my own needs.
But, like, Martha's just not like that.
Because he says, look, the stupid wife has to realize she's not the star here.
Exactly.
She's like, basically, because right. he says the husband makes the news, not the wife.
Yeah.
He's already planting seeds like, Martha, I've seen you at the cocktail parties. Don't get any ideas. Meanwhile, she's got 100 ideas.
Oh my God. Meanwhile, Connie Chung is here. We got to talk about this talking head situation.
Yeah.
Because there's 100 talking heads, but we never see any of them. It's just audio.
Or it's archival footage from, like, being on David Frost or something.
Yeah, I guess so. But I'm like, was it pandemic times and they just record their audio on, like, their iPhones and emailed it in?
I got the sense that a lot of these interviews happened a long time ago.
Oh.
That it's just, like, archival.
You were probably
audio.
Playing closer attention.
Probably.
I was
the odds are pretty great.
Yeah.
Odds are pretty great.
I was just, like, really dazzled by her brooches.
I loved those glasses, those cat eyes.
The glasses are great.
So
the coats for that hair that I'm like, I don't even know how she gets her hair to stand up like that.
But we're also just like, oh my God, she looks like such someone of that time. She was that time.
Exactly.
She was exactly what a woman in 1968 who was in politics, in Republican politics, she dressed the part.
Yeah.
You know?
It should also be said that it stated clearly Washington was a city run by white men only.
Yeah, kind of.
You had to be white, you had to be a man.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Right.
Maury Povich is here eventually as well.
Is that right?
Yeah, he makes a quick appearance in the end.
So who was paying more attention? Caught. I am caught.
Women who were part of the Washington social scene were hostesses. Women went into the other room and had coffee while the men talked about the important things. But Martha Mitchell wasn't playing the Washington game. She was not going to be just the wife who sits in the background and not say anything.
A political life isn't like a normal person. They can do and say what they please, but I do say what I please.
Yeah.
We also meet Sally Quinn, who's a journalist at the Washington Post, and she's like, you know, women were part of the social scene. We were the hostesses.
But this is where they point out that, like, Martha Mitchell just wasn't going to do that. She was not going to sit in the background and be some, like, lapdog wife.
Right, and the first example of this that we see is...
Well, sweetie, I tell you what, I've seen that in the paper today. And I don't think you all have been home and doing your homework.
Well, sweetie, I'll tell you what. She's talking to a journalist.
I know.
Well, sweetie, I'll tell you what. I saw what you wrote in the paper today, and I don't think you people are actually doing your homework and reporting this the way you should be. They're like, oh, God. But she's right.
She is right. They say that if, like, Martha, she was such a firecracker that if she was coming to dinner at the White House, people were, like, on high alert.
Right. And then we learn, it's not that the president didn't like women. It's that he didn't like loud women. Now, hold on a second.
He wouldn't have liked either one of us.
No, that's a direct quote.
Yeah.
Now, I want to be clear here that they're not just talking about the volume of her voice when they say it loud, right?
Exactly.
Like, to be loud is to be strong and honest and have something to say and to say it clearly and not be steamrolled and not be bullied. And, like, I'm sure she was loud, too, like you loud.
Yep.
But she was...
She invented the meetings.
She invented the meetings. But, like, that's what they mean by loud.
Yeah.
It's not just a volume thing.
Totally.
And there was also more than... This is where I relate. There was more than one occasion where Martha would get hammered and start making official phone calls to the White House.
You texted me. You're like, look, if we had the president's phone number, we would probably drunk dial him too. Let's not come for her
Let's
for that.
Let's not vilify Martha for that. If I had a direct line to Joe, I'd be making a couple of phone calls.
And I gotta say, as much as like Nixon publicly didn't like her, privately he probably sometimes got a kick out of her.
Because someone says she's on some, she did every news show, everything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And someone's like, Martha, did you recently call the president and tell him what to do? She's like, well, yeah, you know, I advise him from time to time.
And Martha even says, she's like, the president just didn't know what to make of me. Like, he never knew what I was
getting.
Yeah.
No one, like, got, everyone was like, I don't understand this. So how do I handle this? And it's like, she doesn't need to be handled.
The other thing is, it's not like he met Martha the day he became president. Her husband and him used to be law partners.
They were old buds.
He would come over for dinner, probably.
And I think what happened is that, which we get into a little bit later, it was all, like, fun. She shook things up a little bit until it got really real. And they realized that, like, oh, no, she's, like, actually saying valuable things.
Exactly.
She was the fun party wife.
Yeah.
And she was, but she's also fucking smart and noticed things were wrong and had something to say about it.
Martha Mitchell said today those who advocate violent revolution in the United States should be kicked out of this country. She did not say where she wanted them kicked to.
Today at about 2 a.m., she called the Arkansas Gazette in Little Rock demanding that Senator Fulbright be crucified.
I've always thought that Mr. Fulbright, if you want to call him that, I have an awful time calling him that. He's either half bright, he's now down to quarter bright.
I feel like she doesn't like hippies.
Well, Martha, your 1968 republicanism is showing. She thinks all violent protesters should be kicked out of the country. To where? She doesn't say.
Well, the thing is, she says violent protesters. I don't like violent protesters either. But when they're saying that she said this, I had to really stop and look at it. Because they're showing stock footage of hippies.
Right.
And hippies were not violent protesters.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
And then, like, you just want to throw them out of the country to where, Martha?
I know. The
world is in peril. It's 1968.
Totally.
A lot going on.
She doesn't say.
She doesn't
have a place in mind.
No, but however, she does call a newspaper in Little Rock, Arkansas, and demand that a senator be crucified.
What's his name?
Fulbright.
Yeah, she wants Senator Fulbright of Arkansas crucified.
Well, then she's got bits because she's, once again, on TV being interviewed about this thing that was in the paper.
Yeah.
And she goes, well, you know, this guy Fulbright. Yeah, if you can call him that. More like Halfbright, am I right? Got a Carter Bright, and everyone's laughing.
I know,
it's
she
like they're
really
a live
hates
taping
this guy.
Of the Dick Van Dyke Show. Knee slapping and bowled over laughing. They think she's a kid.
Can you imagine you're Fulbright and you're like, you see the attorney general's wife on a talk show talking shit about you?
If it were Martha, my feelings would be very hurt. A Carter Bright? Not that bad? Martha, I always answer your drunk dials.
I just love, like, Martha's cracking open a bottle of Chardonnay. You know, she's going to call the vice president tonight.
Yeah, and you know what? As she should. She's got thoughts and feelings.
Can you name Nixon's vice president?
No.
Spiro Agnew.
Spiro Agnew, of course. That's one of those things where, like, of course, what a name.
I know.
Of course you know Spiro Agnew.
I only know my favorite lesbian, Rachel Maddow.
Oh.
I only, because she made a podcast called Bagman about Spiro Agnew.
I'm sorry, Mike. Oh.
You just apologize. What's going to happen?
Nothing.
Okay.
Nothing.
Is he going to take away your allowance?
No, I don't know why I apologize.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go big time on a fancy water bottle. With ultra titanium alloy metal. You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water. But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time. For water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
So she knows she's a bit of a character.
Uh-huh.
She loves it. She's playing it up and she's kind of like, it's all going really well for everyone right now.
I don't think there's any question that early they enjoyed Martha getting the attention that she got. She was good. She was on message.
even though she was pro-Nixon, she was completely untethered. And Mitchell seemed to go along with it, which was even more interesting.
I can neither control what she says or what she does. In fact, she is getting to be known as the unguided missile.
Because honestly, like, they don't like being in the spotlight. She loves being in the spotlight. They're like, fine, let her do it.
And Nixon's the worst. So now we can talk about, like, fun Martha instead?
Yeah. And they say that, like, she's basically on message, so it's fine, you know?
Right. But someone says that, like, someone would be asked if they heard that Martha called, and they're like, oh, God, who did she drunk dial now? It's not like, oh, what did Martha say?
Yeah. Can you imagine in a world where Steve was the president and I'm the first lady? Can you imagine? Like,
is that not the world we live in? In some way, in some existential or very meta way.
I would be drunk dialing I'd be calling AOC every fucking night. You know every night.
You know what I would love? I would love to see Martha's like iPhone recent calls, like recent outgoing calls. Like just in my brain, want to be able to scroll and see who she's called lately and at what time and how long the outgoing call lasted. In my fantasy.
You love a phone. We met a famous person once and we got access to their phone for 2 seconds and you typed in a letter and Beyonce's number came up.
I was told to put my telephone number in another person's telephone.
And you put it in and Beyonce's number came up.
And I didn't look. I just kept typing my digits. things like that are wild when they happen.
That is, it is
because
real
it's
wild.
Also like, oh, Beyonce has a phone number.
I know. People like, just text Beyonce. I know.
It feels like she shouldn't. Like, it feels like she's too above us that, like, she's got a phone. Who does she text? Taylor Swift? Does Taylor have a phone? Why do these people have phones?
Do you think the Indigo Girls have phones?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
That took a turn, didn't it?
When I came along, the American people related to me in certain ways. The administration couldn't believe it. What are they going to do with Martha Mitchell?
The Attorney General of the United States, Martha Mitchell.
We have voted you the person who has done the most for Ma Bell, and your prize is a telephone in the shape of the Supreme Court.
Well, that'll make hanging it up a real pleasure.
So, like, this was good for everyone. Everyone liked her. She shook things up. And the Nixon administration was, like, staunchly anti-press, right?
Yes.
And she was very pro talking to the press.
And we see her, again, on every talk show. She does that one ringy-dingy thing with Lily Tomlin. Did you
laughing.
Catch? Yeah. And, like, she does, like, that phone operator character.
And the thing about this that I think is really important to, like, focus on for a second is she's in on the joke.
Right.
We're laughing with Martha Mitchell the whole time.
100%.
Like, she's like, chuckling. It's, like, she breaks character. It is very charming.
Yeah.
Like, she's in on, she gets all of it.
Yes.
Like, at one point when she like, walks out into the Rose Garden or whatever, and she's like, hello, I'm here, where are my boyfriends? She's talking about the journalist, and I said,
that's me!
I'm my boyfriend.
Patrick entering literally any room.
Because she's
in
also,
my notes.
She's walking down, like, a set of stairs when she says, where are my boyfriends?
Yeah, I'm here.
I would be the best first man. Why is Steve not president?
First lady.
I feel like I could really make something out of that job. I'd make a meal out of it, like our Broadway director says.
I think you already do play that role.
Okay. Great.
Very well.
Yeah, thank you
swimmingly.
So much. Okay, thank you. So now we meet Helen Thomas. So I don't know if you all know who Helen Thomas is. I only remember her from like the Clinton era when she was a billion years old. And she was like covering the White House. So she'd go into like the briefing room and she would always like sit right front and center. Every president called on her anytime. Like she's like a famous, famous journalist. But we see her in like the 60s when she was already like in her 50s or whatever.
Yeah.
But she's here. She's a big part of this.
And she says every reporter in town wanted to talk to her, and I'm one of them.
Yeah,
she couldn't wait to talk to Martha.
Because she says she hit this town like a bomb.
Right.
I love that.
I remember once coming back from California, and the Mitchells were on board. We were on the back side of the plane, and the men were playing cards, and Martha Mitchell came back. I said, well, you know, what do you think of the miniskirts? Why don't you ask me something important? I said, okay, what do you think of the Vietnam War? She said, it stinks. The men stopped playing cards and grabbed their notebooks.
And Helen goes, hey, Martha, what do you think about miniskirts? And Martha shoots back with all the energy of a woman in 2022 and says, why don't you ask me something important?
Yeah.
And Helen goes, okay, what do you think about the Vietnam War? Record scratch moment.
All the male journalists weren't paying any attention to Martha. They were all playing cards. Poker or whatever.
Which could be very fun.
Totally.
But, and again, like, I love that Helen asked a shitty question, was put in her place a little bit, and then said, all right, you want the hard-hitting questions? You got it, Martha.
And then she got a scoop because, so the whole thing, I was kind of like, I don't know as much about the Vietnam War as I should, but they tell us that, like, presidents were just inheriting this war.
Yeah.
And Nixon had inherited it. Nobody wanted it. No one knew what to do with it. But for Martha to be out there talking shit about it puts the administration in a real bad position.
She was banned from Air Force One after this.
Right. And I gotta say, she's probably the only fun thing on Air Force One.
I know. Helen was like, damn it.
I know.
The only other woman probably
in the
room.
I know.
So yeah, so Nixon eventually withdrew us from the war in 1973 and then it ended in 75. But like her comments were, quote, beyond awkward because no one, like, you just don't say this when you're this close to the minute. You don't say, like, that's when people say, like, oh, it's just like a political answer. You just kind of hem and haw.
Right.
She gave a, like, I hate it. It stinks.
Yeah. And she's also a woman. She's like on another talk show with a talk show host. Like, don't you think that's dangerous for your party? And she's like, no, it's just unusual for a woman to speak her mind.
Right.
That's why it makes news.
I love that you said, and yet on yet another talk show.
Look, her dance card is full.
Full.
She would 100% at least entertain the idea of being a co-host on The View were she alive today.
Yeah. I was going to say she would totally come to Obsess Fest. She totally would have.
Maybe next year we get one of the drag queens to go as Martha Mitchell.
Okay. Don't tell all your secrets.
Okay.
TikTok.
Martha's not nuts. Martha knows exactly what she's doing. I'm always going after the man. That's what concerns me. I just can't stand it.
So we get some on-screen text and we learn that between 1971 and 1973, Nixon was secretly recording tapes of his conversations in the White House and executive offices. Martha Mitchell was mentioned over 100 times.
We know about the Nixon tapes. And again, I don't know as much about Nixon as I should or the tape. I asked Steve, I was like, why? I knew that he had the tapes, but why? And Steve said it was just because Nixon was fucking paranoid.
Yeah.
And like never.
He was doing bad shit.
But like, why would you record yourself doing
it's
bad
wild.
Shit? You know what I mean? Like Donald Trump doesn't even like have a cell phone, literally.
I know. Everything was going so well.
I know. I'm sorry.
Dark clouds.
I'm just saying that, like, why would you, if you're paranoid, wouldn't you want the opposite of, like, recordings of it?
Because I think he's thinking that he can get people and he can, you know, when you're just paranoid and deluded,
guess.
Like, that's what
But
happens.
This is, like, was his downfall were these fucking tapes.
And he's talking shit about Martha. And
I
he's
know.
Talking about, like, quote, what a pain in the ass she is. And he goes, it scares me. I just can't stand it. Is that your focus?
I know.
Nixon, right
why
now?
Why are you thinking about
it's
her?
It's 1968. The Vietnam War has been going on since 1955.
I know.
There's other shit to deal with. Civil rights. Like, come on.
It's true.
Martha Mitchell is the scariest thing in your life right now and you're the president?
I feel like being the president is probably a lonely position.
Look, I'm not gonna do
no
it.
No way.
But I'm saying you're there now.
I know. You wanted this.
Go to work. You're at work.
I feel like you're talking to me.
No, I know that you work too much. We've
what time do you think I got up today?
3:45.
Because I gotta be in my chair by
4:15.
No, by 4? What am I? What? I gotta be in my chair by 4 a.m. I need 15 minutes to pee and make the coffee.
Okay.
So I'm just saying.
Okay, fine.
Okay,
I
work a real long day to talk.
I know. We got a lot going on.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go big time on a fancy water bottle with ultra titanium alloy metal. You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water. But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time for water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
So it's 1972 and it's Nixon's reelection campaign and we hear a horrible song about his like reelection jingle.
It's a real bad song.
But it's so 1972 I can't take it.
And the thing is, like, we love Martha, but she's, like, chomping at the bit to get out there and stump for Nixon. She just, like, wants to get out on the trail and, like, make appearances.
I know.
Again, I'd be great at this.
You'd be great at this.
If Steve were running for office, I'd be making every appearance.
Oh, of course you would. And but he'd be happy that you are.
I would also be, like, knocking over glasses of water everywhere I went.
Yeah, but it's cute and charming.
Totally.
be all over the TikTok. You'd go viral. You'd be a sound on TikTok. You'd be a trend. It would be a whole thing. You'll be pretending to knock all over glasses of water just like Patrick.
Don't y'all want me in a position where I can just, like, go to charity events and, like, be on talk shows? That sounds like an amazing life.
I don't know how anyone's stopping you.
Okay.
You can do anything you set your mind to.
So, also, can we talk about how Martha invented an organization called Creep?
Well, hold on a second. So, her husband, who was the attorney general, now resigned so that he can run the campaign.
Correct.
Nixon's re-election campaign.
Yeah.
So, Martha, like, couldn't wait to get back to the people and go to the events.
I was one of the first at Creep, which was a committee to re-elect the president. Magruder, Porter, and myself were the first three people that opened up CREEP. I had my own staff, my own office. I was involved in the whole campaign. I'm out all around the country, working day in and day out to make this man president.
So it's called the Committee to Re-elect the President, or
CREEP, which is just like, what?
We need to do better, right?
Like, Martha, you're a smart gal. You know what I mean? I don't understand. That's the name of this organ. Why would you want it to be called CREEP?
And that's like footage for the Committee to Re-elect the President. Like, no, I get it.
No.
Like, I get what the words are.
No one's confused. We didn't even need the parentheses. You know what I mean?
And also Nixon, I get it. CREEP.
Right, totally.
A little too meta. A little too on the nose.
A little on the nose.
But how did no one say, you know what people are going to think because the word creep is there?
But Martha's all excited because she had her own staff and her own office. And she was like involved. She was like a valued member of the campaign.
And she's great at it because she loves it. Like she's loyal to the party. Like everything she's doing is great. At first.
Yeah, she's like me. She likes to show her work. She's like, I'm going everywhere, day and night. Yeah. I'm always working.
I know. We know. I'm saying that to you and Martha. We get it. There's proof of it. No, you're on the right. It's
really
totally
hard.
I know you do.
Okay. And I like to talk about it.
Yeah, I know.
Because how else will people know?
Because of all the endless content we put out.
I know.
Because
Are you
you're
all
traveling
sick of us yet?
Everywhere, because you have a book, because we know.
I'm coming to 10 cities in January and February to read my book to people.
Great.
Okay.
It's going to be a hell of a party.
Can Will you come to one of them?
Of course.
Will you come to the New York one?
No. What do you think? I'm a fucking monster? What is wrong with you? Are you honestly asking me if I'm going to come to your fucking book party in my city? What are you, out of your mind? That's like the meanest thing you've ever said.
Do you see how mad she is?
That was a mean question. Of course I would come and support you. I can't wait.
Okay. You going to buy the book?
We have to move on.
What changed your feelings about him? Because I know that at one time you believed in Richard Nixon, you and your husband. What happened?
California. I didn't want to come out here that particular time. And I was made to come out here on that trip at the last minute.
John Mitchell and I and some others from the campaign were in Los Angeles. And we were having a fundraiser. The waiter comes over with a phone and I find out what happened.
So everything changed in California.
And they say to her, like, where and when and why? And we don't know what happened.
She says that she didn't want to go on this particular trip to California. And we don't know why. And that's a little strange because she loved going on these trips. And we don't know what happened there. But she was forced to go at the last minute.
And we learned that this trip was on June 17th, 1972, the day of the break-in at Watergate.
Right. So the campaign is having a fundraiser in L.A. And five men are arrested for breaking into the DNC headquarters.
Yes.
And they're trying to install eavesdropping equipment, files were taken, all that stuff, right? So, like, John Mitchell, who was a major part of this.
Martha's husband, in case you forgot.
And now campaign manager, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Leaves Martha in California. Like, everyone involved in the Watergate break-in leaves, and they make Martha stay in California.
Now, let me explain this a little bit, because the plan was for them to not get caught. They're going to break in.
Obviously.
They're going to steal the shit. They're going to
stay stupid, everybody.
Exactly. They're going to install the equipment. Martha's going to spend 2 days in California. Everyone's coming home. And they've gotten Martha out of the fucking building. Remember, this is the building where she and John live.
Right.
So the point was to have Martha out of the Watergate while this was happening so she wouldn't see it. And also to, like, have her not be back, you know, whatever. Like, they wanted to do it when she wasn't there. And now that her husband, he leaves her there because she's a loose fucking cannon and she's going to figure out why they made her go on this trip she didn't want to go on, and she's going to have a lot of shit to say.
Well, also, James McCord, one of the burglars.
Yes.
She knows him.
Right.
Like,
right.
So stay stupid, everybody. Right, he works for the GOP, more specifically Nixon's re-election committee.
And he works for them. He's like the bodyguard for Martha Mitchell and the children. He takes their kids to school
every
day.
He's also their assistant.
Right.
So if you don't want her involved, don't involve two of the closest people in her life, you stupid men.
Can you imagine, like, I make Steve go on a trip with me to California so Natalie can break into the Wondery offices.
Can you imagine?
And steal, like,
what?
What? Steal all their podcast secrets.
Poor and she gets Natalie. When was the last time Natalie got a raise? We ever break it into other fucking companies? God.
Natalie is well compensated.
I immediately picked up the telephone, called Washington to find out what it was all about.
I meet with John Mitchell in his apartment. There are calls from Martha then. She was outraged that John had left her in California and not given her the full story. All I heard is that Martha was out of hand, that she had been hysterical.
She's furious. Her husband left her in California. Her husband lied to her. She's totally out of the loop. And of course, what do the men say? She is one hysterical woman, isn't she?
Well, because what now they're troubleshooting, because they're like, Martha's going to go fucking bananas here. And we've got to start like putting it out there that she's crazy and she's unhinged. So if something happens and we have to commit her to an institution and no one ever sees her again, we told you she was nuts. But so Martha is alone in her room in California. She calls Helen Thomas.
From Air Force One, yes. With the miniskirts and the Vietnam and it stinks.
And like the legendary reporter,
right.
She calls Helen Thomas and she's literally just spilling the tea about Watergate. One of the bodyguards overhears this, calls the fucking president and says, what should I do? And then Helen Thomas tells us the story that she hears.
Pretty soon I heard her saying, get away, get away. And I didn't know what was happening. And then there was a phone disconnect.
Like, what? That's an insane thing to happen.
I know.
Imagine being Helen on the other end. What? What? Like, you think she was killed? You think Martha was killed?
I know.
That's a very ominous thing to hear. It's ghoulish, as you would say.
It's fucking ghoulish, but even more ghoulish, we hear from the hotel doctor. This is wild.
Yeah, this is insane.
And we hear his voiceover.
I just went to a private room. There were people in the room, and they were beside themselves about her yelling or screaming. They wanted to calm her down. She was held down, and I did give her an injection tranquilizer.
Of course she's upset, by the way. I just want to say that. Like, of course she's upset.
She's the only person in America who knows what really fucking happened.
Right, and no one's listening to her.
No.
And her, and she's betrayed. Of course she's upset.
This doctor tells us about how men hold Martha Mitchell down on the bed, and he forcibly injects her with a tranquilizer.
Right, and that's when Martha says, and that was the beginning of my being held prisoner. Unbelievable.
She's being held prisoner.
To shut her up.
Can you imagine? I mean, like, the betrayal of it all.
Yes, and also, like, that's not gonna work, everybody.
No, yeah.
Like, in order for this to work in quotes, you have to do something drastic. Like, you're not gonna kill Martha
you
Mitchell,
either
are
have
you?
To kill her or put her away somewhere or silence her somehow.
But she's still talking, which I love. She's still talking.
Exactly. And by the way, she also says, she reports to Helen Thomas that she was beaten by the guards.
By her husband's security guards.
Yeah, and she shows, like, bruises on her arms and her thighs to prove it.
Yeah. But she is telling reporters everything. And she's like, they don't want me to talk, but here I am talking to you. And so now Nixon's like, all right, we have to handle this Martha situation. Like, he wants John, the husband, to shut her up.
Yep.
Something needs to happen. She knows too much. She's talking too much. And Martha says, yeah, I know. I know all about it because I told my husband, it's either me or the president. You have to choose. Either leave politics or I'm leaving you.
She makes this, like, I mean, it's all over the news. And I got to tell you, like this documentary is great. And we're kind of like loving how like sassy and over the top she is. That must be fucking terrifying.
It is terrifying.
She's taking on the fucking president of the United States.
Who is ordering doctors to hold her down and tranquilize her against her will, and her husband is letting his bodyguards beat her up. Like, what? She's being abused by everyone around her. This is terrifying.
It's terrifying. And then Martha, we hear Martha saying that all of a sudden there are rumors coming out of the White House that she's crazy, she's an alcoholic, she's all mixed up. They're trying to, like, get ahead of it so they can lock her up.
And we have audio of this, because remember the Nixon tapes,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
So we have him, like, we can hear Nixon saying we would have to leak out the fact that she's not well very strongly. We have to.
Yes.
That's their only recourse here.
John Mitchell, the former attorney general, has quit as President Nixon's campaign director.
He told the president that his reason for resigning was Mrs. Mitchell. Some Democrats maintain that the burglary of their headquarters, carried out by, among others, a member of Mitchell's staff, may have been a factor. Republicans flatly and vehemently deny this. They say the one and only reason is Mrs. Mitchell. A Justice Department friend of the Mitchells said just after that, quote, Martha has a special problem. Obviously, it has gotten more serious, unquote.
And so, like, he quits. He orchestrated Watergate.
Yeah, yeah. And he's blaming it on his wife. And everyone knows about it. Like,
yes.
The public isn't falling for this at all.
And are we going to talk about the Free Martha campaign?
The Free Martha Mitchell movement.
Yeah,
I'm right
the
here.
Free Martha Mitchell movement. We're at like rallies and protests where people are saying they have to free Martha Mitchell. And Connie Chung says like nobody really believed her. Like everyone thought she was like the Democrats are saying like free Martha Mitchell, but like everyone thinks she kind of is this wild over the top woman.
And like they used her to distract from Watergate, and it worked because Nixon won the 72 election.
And they say he won by a landslide. Yeah. They say she has to move to New York City, where she says she hides in her little apartment because she's too embarrassed to go outside.
Right. So at first we're like, okay, nothing happened. Nixon gets re-election. But remember that guy McCord, who was like the friend of Martha Mitchell?
The guy who did the break-in.
Right. He starts talking.
Yes.
So it's 1973 and McCord testifies before a Senate committee and he's like, John Mitchell! John Mitchell did it! He was at the head of this!
He did it and he knew fucking everything. He's a tea spiller too!
Yeah. Martha keeps talking. She's calling the goddamn New York Times.
Because what happens is that Martha Mitchell doesn't believe it. So this guy McCord is saying like Mitchell knew everything, and Martha is now saying she's holding press conferences in front of her fucking apartment building.
I know. It's
and
amazing.
She's the kind of lady like when she speaks, everyone listens.
Right.
I am sick and tired of people saying I'm after publicity. But if I have to get publicity in order to clear two guiltless people, my husband and myself, and you can place all the blame right on the White House.
What do you mean on the White House?
Well, where do you think all of this originated? Do you think my husband's that stupid? And whom do you think he's been protecting?
And she's just saying they're trying to pin it on my husband. I won't let them do it. She says, I don't care who gets hurt. I can name names.
I mean.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. And, like, she was super pissed at Nixon. She wants to protect John. But the thing is, like, her husband was very, very involved, and she didn't know that.
Right. Exactly.
She didn't know.
Right. And we, with the hindsight of history, we know that she's wrong.
Right.
Poor
she's
thing.
Wrong, like, about John's involvement, but she was right about everything else. Like,
exactly.
That it happened. Like, she knew the truth before anybody.
And then she says to, the gathered reporters, they're going to try to kill me, and I'm relying on you to keep me alive.
I depend on you, the
Martha,
press, to protect me.
She also looks like a million bucks all the time.
I know.
She's going through like one of the hardest things you can go through. She's taking on the president of the United States, and she looks amazing.
She has those like old-timey late 1960s like pants, like wool suits.
Totally.
With
the Chanel
skirts.
Suits. Yeah.
Unbelievable. So, and Martha like calls on Nixon to resign. She's like, hey, asshole, like you always knew what was going on.
And Helen Thomas says, by the way, like she was the first. She was doing that like long before everybody else was in on that.
Exactly.
With a $5 meal deal with new McValue, you pick a McDouble or a McChicken, then get a small fry, a small drink, and a four-piece McNuggets. That's a lot of McDonald's for not a lot of money.
Prices and participation may vary. McDouble meal, $6 in some markets for a limited time only.
So now we learn a little bit about, like, John leaving Martha, because they have these, like, horrible public fights.
Former Attorney General John Mitchell has left his wife and has moved into a New York hotel. Newsweek says this is the result of a recent series of violent outbursts in which Mrs. Mitchell threw her husband's clothes into the hall of their apartment building. Friends claim Mitchell has told them his wife is a sick woman, but that he cannot bring himself to take the legal steps necessary to have her committed.
John is saying, like, he's trying to justify leaving her.
He, like, moves into a hotel.
But he's like, my wife is a very sick woman, and I don't have the heart to have her committed. Bullshit. If you really loved her and she was sick, you would actually take care of her. But you're just an asshole.
You're just an asshole. And I can't, I always imagined that their relationship was really fun and he got her and she was loud and drinks a lot.
No.
And like, he's like, cool. Like, he liked it. And I think things just changed.
It's
right?
Instagram versus reality a little bit. You know?
Yes. And also, I think that like his loyalty is to the president, like over anything else.
Boo.
You know, boo. I kind of feel like Martha might not have been the easiest to live with in this moment. Martha reminds me a lot of me.
I was going to say.
And, if I was going through a very stressful time like this, and it's slowly dawning on me that my husband was actually really involved.
Exactly. It's not like she doesn't have a leg to stand on here.
No, and we get these stories that she's like taking his clothes and throwing them out in the hall. I was thinking like, wow, what kind of adventure it would have been to have been their neighbors.
I know.
And hearing all of my
things. Thought you were going to say like, what would it take for me to start throwing Steve's clothes out the window?
I mean,
like, how angry would you have to be? He'd probably have to participate in Watergate and lie to you about
totally.
It. And then let people beat you and then like drag your name through the mud.
One of the reasons Steve and I are a good team is because whenever I get upset with him, I remember all the living hell I put him through every single day. And
you I'm should like, teach classes.
It's
a lot of
trade-off.
Men don't know how to do that.
No. I know how truly lucky I am.
A lot of people in this world do not have that self-awareness.
Oh my God. I can't.
That's amazing.
I'm really mad at you and I want to do crazy things, but I can't have you leaving me.
And he's like, right. Right. Put the half and half back in the goddamn fridge.
I did it again this morning.
I know you did. Because you woke up. I know.
I woke up and I was thirsty for my coffee.
I know.
And the fridge is all the way over there.
I know.
You know what I mean?
I hear
you.
Okay.
Do you put it away?
Yes.
Okay.
But I do leave cups everywhere. It's part of my ADHD thing.
Oh,
like I'll
yeah?
get like a full cup of like ice water and then I'll leave it and then I'll not find it and I'll be like, I guess I didn't make it. And then I'll have another glass of water somewhere. I have cups everywhere.
I want the listeners to know you are more me than Steve in this regard.
Sure.
The time that you and I showed up at the airport the first time we traveled alone together
yeah.
and we both realized that we're both
neither
the us.
Steve. Yeah.
No, we're not the Steve or the Mike.
No.
Who would know exactly where to go and what to do and how to make those like the tags you gotta put in your bag that are sticky.
Yeah.
And if you do it wrong, they're all misaligned and then you ruin it. And you can't go on the trip.
They send you to prison forever. At least that's how it feels. And my hands are shaking. I can't do it. No one has a gun to my head.
No.
But it sure does feel like
no.
it.
She was by herself after he left. Her daughter, Marty, wasn't there. And I know that when they were estranged, that was a hole in Martha's heart.
I've been under the most trying things. And if anybody could turn out to be an alcoholic, I should. But I'm not.
I think she was scared all the time that something else might happen to her. She said, I know they're doing this because they think I know too much.
We hear a lot about how hard this was on Martha. Like, she was totally alone. She was very scared.
And she doesn't have any money. And, like, she's relying on him for support payments that he's not making.
And the president hates her.
Yeah.
Like, and he has a lot of power. And that's a scary thing. Like, she says, every day I'd wake up and wonder what's going to happen to me.
Because she says, I've been doped. They tried to put me in a mental institution twice. They've tried to kill me. I believe everything she's saying.
Of course. Because then the Nixon tapes come out.
Right.
So all of that. Remember, Martha Mitchell's name was mentioned over 100
yeah,
times.
Yeah, yeah.
He literally says we have to pin this on her.
Yes.
Like, Martha is proved right. She wasn't crazy.
No.
They're on the tape making the plans how they're going to make her look crazy.
But she also has to grapple with what she learns on the tapes about why her husband really resigned.
Exactly.
And he didn't resign to take care of her. He resigned to duck responsibility for Watergate.
Right. So.
And she had always believed that he, like, left to take care of her.
And that was part of the thing that was making her so scared and upset was because she was like, how could this, like, nothing was making sense and now everything makes sense.
Exactly.
So John Mitchell was charged with obstruction of justice, lying to the grand jury and the FBI, and faces 30 years in prison, but we'll get back to him.
Yeah.
Nixon resigns, doesn't give any pardons to anybody.
And this is what's so wild. I think John, like, fully believed he would be pardoned by Nixon. Nixon leaves office without pardoning anybody.
Bye.
Wow.
He just bails.
Yeah.
Yeah, Nixon leaves in 74, and Martha Mitchell is, like, vindicated. She's all over TV. She's doing every interview. She's telling her story.
Yeah.
And she says, and this was, like, so heartbreaking to me, because she says...
People say that you started the whole Watergate thing. You let everybody know.
That's absolutely right.
Are you happy
Thank
with
you
the outcome?
I am indeed.
Do you think that if President...
It's been the greatest thing in the world for this country. We're going to get all the politicians real true blue again. They're not going to be dishonest.
And I just said to myself, sorry, Martha, that never happened and it only got worse.
Yeah. I mean, you know, yeah. I mean, what'd you think you were getting into, Marth? You know what I mean?
Like, but also, like, Watergate, like, at the time was, like, the worst.
I know.
And
I
now...
think about that sometimes now when I'm like, from my perspective, there have been times that I'm like, it can't get worse than this, but it definitely will.
It will.
You know?
Oh. Ouch. I feel that right here in my heart.
I know. And this is where Maury Povich is here, looking like a million bucks. He's got some tiny little, like, cable access show, and he's basically just saying, like, congratulations, girl. You did it. You were vindicated.
You were vindicated.
I love that Martha makes the rounds on TV taking full responsibility for the downfall of the president.
Look.
I know.
She played a major role.
I said, Martha Mitchell is back, baby. She's back.
She's back in her prime. She's on TV and she's talking shit.
Yeah.
Love her.
And then John, her husband, gets sentenced and this dirtbag, like, says to a reporter, well, it could have been worse. He could have sentenced me to live with Martha Mitchell.
What a fucking asshole. And remember, he could face up to 30 years or whatever.
He
was sentenced to 2.5 to 8 years. He served 19 months, this guy. And he won't pay his child support. Martha has to sue him for unpaid child. What a dirtbag, this guy.
And it's so fucking sad because, like, by 1974, when this is all happening, she's broke and she's sick with a malignant blood disease. And she dies in 1976.
Yeah. And, like, because she died so close to when this was happening, like, almost in the middle of it still, people are really, really supporting her. And someone sent a flower arrangement that had flowers that spelled out Martha was right.
It just, this must have been so taxing on her because she died immediately after.
I know.
I mean, she died immediately after.
Of course. I mean, think about every, like, the weight that she was carrying for everything. One, to be like the cool, fun spokesperson, and then they hated her for it. And then she knew the truth and everyone was gaslighting her and she couldn't trust anyone. And then this corrupt president, like, all the power he had.
And her husband turned on her. Like,
yes.
Like, her husband left her and turned on her.
And it's like, everyone knew, which I guess, like, one little silver lining is that everyone knew in the moment that she was right.
Yes.
Like, she was outspoken and she was right. And at one point I was like, is this me? Right. Like, all of these garbage people I'm waiting for everyone else to come around on. Like, I'm right eventually.
Well, they say in 1998, a Harvard psychologist named Brendan Maher coined the term the Martha Mitchell effect, which is what this is called.
Right.
And it describes a process in which a person's beliefs are initially labeled as delusional, but are later turned out to be true. Isn't that a Cassandra? Isn't that like from like Greek tragedy?
Oh, yeah.
I don't mean to like blow it up. Martha Mitchell was pretty amazing. You know what I mean?
Because we saw this play out in real time, I guess. You know, it's like, it's not just like a story. It happened. What do you think people are going to have flowers spell out at my funeral?
Bisexual witch.
Oh, bye.
No. It'll be okay. Bye bye.
I thought you were going to say she was right.
She was right.
Just takes people a little bit longer to come around, but don't worry.
I think it'd be really funny. My arrangement to you, should I outlive you? And if I do, it'll be by 35 seconds.
Right.
It's just going to say okay. Bye bye.
Oh, God. Yours is going to say Steve?
We did the Martha Mitchell effect. I remembered what it was called.
You did.
Look at me.
Because we actually just said the name a couple times, but I'll give it to you. I want you to have it.
Fam, join us on the Patreon. We're uploading a ton of video content there. Like I've been saying, we've already put up our live show that we did at Obsessed Fest.
Yep.
We covered
the Dateline episode Killer Role with Keith Morrison.
And it was like, you know, multi-angle cameras. It's like highly edited. Our dancers opened the show. It was amazing. We're going to be uploading the Class Action Park film live at the Wilbur in Boston. We're uploading the West Memphis 3 panel from Obsessed Fest with you. With Damien.
And Bob Ruff.
And we're also uploading the Rabia and Rebecca chat. There's also 350 at least full ad-free bonus episodes.
Yeah, it's a party. Everyone's invited. So if you want to come by, come swing by.
We also did an after party where we debriefed about Obsessed Fest. That was really fun.
My mom texted me that she listened to it. She said that it was really sweet the way you say nice things to me. She said it was like really moving to her.
I meant to
send you a screenshot of that.
Thanks, Barbara.
Yeah.
Also, we're going to be announcing year two really soon.
Really soon,
we're
everyone.
Really, really close, everyone. It's going to be great. Follow us on TikTok. It's True Crime Obsessed Pod. Follow Obsessed Fest on Instagram. It's at Obsessed Fest.
Great.
What are we doing next?
We are doing, oh God.
What is it?
Everyone get your barf bag ready. Girls Gone Wild Exposed, which is an episode of Rich and Shameless.
Oh my God.
It's real bad.
I gotta tell you, the Guys Gone Wild was super hot stuff.
Was it the same guy, Joe Francis?
Yes, it was that. And it was like the straight guys just like getting naked and like sometimes making out with each other.
What?
Yeah, Guys Gone Wild. Check it out.
I don't think they talk about this in Girls Gone Wild.
No.
In this episode.
Guys Gone Wild was a real thing.
Oh, no.
I know.
Like, there's not enough gay porn out there. We have to watch this
I know,
shit.
I
like,
know.
What?
We really have filled the quota of porn in my community,
like
have we not?
But just like, what do they call it? Like, conscious porn. Don't do like the bad porn. This is the bad porn.
All right, well, stay tuned for the trailer for that. The funny and hilarious outtakes. That's it.
All right.
Free
Martha Mitchell. We love you. Martha was right.
She was right.
Bye.
All right, bye.
In the early 2000s, pop culture was sexy and colorful. It was the rise of the reality television star. You know, Wild and Free was being celebrated.
And Girls Gone Wild was part of the party.
To get these girls, where do you go?
We go everywhere where people are having a lot of fun.
If Girls Gone Wild showed up, it was like gasoline on fire. Every hot chick in the place wanted to get on camera.
It was softcore DVDs.
Girls Gone Wild!
It was a cultural phenomenon.
It was the worst night of my life.
Girls Gone Wild was taking advantage of young women and then publicizing them for years to come.
And there was clearly a darker side to the Girls Gone Wild empire.
Joe had many allegations of violence and abuse. Banged her head approximately 4 to 5 times. He said, "Don't you know who I am?"
He must have had a troubled childhood, or he's just a total sociopath.
did that just to taunt her?
I know. I didn't fall for it. You want me to change the? You want me to fix the internet again or not?
We're nailing it.
Actually, you would have been very happy if I couldn't fix it.
I thought,
oh no,
no.
Oh, Natalie, okay, oh, bye. No, we can't do it.
I guess I'm going home. And yeah. I'm gonna go to bed early.
I guess I came all the way to Midtown for nothing.
Yeah. I put the Indigo Girls and Beyonce on the same par.
And I think Tori Amos doesn't have a phone because she is using an old rotary phone.
Totally.
Still.
She puts it in her purse.
Right. And she thinks she's making calls and someone's just saying on her behalf.
In fairness, I did text Natalie yesterday and say, like, is it essential that we record tomorrow?
Yes. Yes.
I'm just telling you the truth.
Well, I appreciate
Natalie, that was Natalie's answer. She was like, yes.
Yeah, you have to.
You need to.
See, not at all like Nixon.
No.
Because you showed up to work.
Totally.
And you told me the truth. You're doing great.
I thank you so much. Steve and I went to get lunch and we were walking back and I see this lady see me and make a face. And I thought she just needed directions because we were in like Midtown. And she goes, hi, oh, hi. Can I bother you? I'm just such a big fan. And I was like, oh my God. And she was Irish. I know. She's like from Ireland. Her and her husband are here for a week. And she said like one of the things we wanted to do was run into you and Jillian.
That is so sweet.
She was so excited. And she had a cup of Dunkin'. And she's like, I got Dunkin'. It's my first Dunkin' because I got it because you love it.
So sweet.
It was wild. So we took pictures and then we walked away and I said to Steve, I just got recognized without even wearing my own merch.
That's really
And then he
sweet.
Pointed at my shirt and I was wearing my merch.
You got me. You had me in the first half there.
I thought somebody recognized me without my merch. Nope.
I'm Rodney Williams.
And I'm Travis Holloway. Welcome to the Wealth Break Podcast, a real conversation about finance.
Let's be honest. Building wealth doesn't look the same for everyone.
I feel like sometimes being broke is a cycle and that we might have to revisit that.
And we're not stopping at success stories.
What happens when it doesn't go right? How do you cope with it?
Because wealth isn't just about money. It's about creating a life where you thrive and help others do the same.
Listen to the Wealth Break Podcast on the iHeartRadio app.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall.
No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.